This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail of the Al-Kawthar Institute and Imam Development Project. We continue بإذن الله تعالى. Inshallah, tonight we conclude our discussion related to hadith number 5, the hadith dealing with matters of innovation. We move on, inshallah, to special characteristics of bid'ah. Special characteristics of bid'ah. Number one, that one needs to understand that with regards to the bid'ah, this bid'ah and that bid'ah, that you will not find specific evidence that this is a bid'ah and that's a bid'ah. Rather, one uses the general evidences to show and to prove that this is a bid'ah. We also find that the bid'ah, this is in competition with the deen. It is in competition, it is in imitation of the deen, it is diluting the deen. We also find that this is not a condition. This is not a condition for something to be regarded as a bid'ah, that there should not be any benefit in it. No, many bid'ah, there's a lot of benefit in it, but it's still a bid'ah. It's still an innovation. Someone might say, I feel closer to Allah. I feel this is nice. It makes my heart feel nice, etc. Doesn't change anything. It would still be regarded as a bid'ah. You find people of other religions, they do certain things and they say that this religious matter really makes me feel nice, makes me feel good, makes me feel closer to my Lord. Does it mean it's right? Does not mean that it's right. Number two, that it is not a condition that this bid'ah be done constantly and repeatedly for it to be regarded as a bid'ah. Yes, sometimes only when something is repeated constantly, then it becomes a bid'ah. But other times it could be just once and it will be regarded as a bid'ah. For example, subhanAllah, in certain country in Asia, there's an area where a certain individual had passed away, and pious individual it was claimed, and his grave is there. And unfortunately, subhanAllah, I mean, this is ajeeb, right? This is in Malaysia, and I read about this in one of the magazines there, that you find that during the year, people visit this shrine, and they commit zina. Married people, unmarried individuals, they go there and they feel that you're having some marital problems, make the journey to that shrine, and you go there and whoever is there, it's like a free for all. You sleep with whoever and you will be blessed. SubhanAllah, you will be blessed. You know, you are getting rewarded by this and there will be khair and barakah coming out of this. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allahumusta'an. So point is that this person might do this just one time, but this is a bid'ah. You are making zina into an act of worship. Allahumusta'an. Also, it's not a condition that the person does the act in hope of getting reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody comes along and he says, you know what, Ramadan, it's in December right now, it's you know, time to make money, so we will change Ramadan and we will make it in March. We will delay it up to March and we will then fast. It will be much cooler and better at that time. So this person has no intention of getting reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you are changing the nizam of the deen. You are changing the character of the deen, and thus that would be a bid'ah. Also, it's not a condition that the individual who's doing a bid'ah, that they have a bad intention. No, they could have a fantastic intention. وَكَمْ مِنْ مُرِيدٍ لِلْخَيْرِ لَمْ يُصِبْهُ. But unfortunately, how many a times a person, he wants good, but he does not get it. Allahu musta'an. So this person might have beautiful intention, fantastic intention, doesn't change the fact that it would still be a bid'ah. And then lastly, that it's not a condition that there must not be any evidence for this bid'ah. Evidence meaning, you know, whether it be correct, whether it be incorrect, whether it be general, whether it be specific, whether it be correct evidence or incorrect. The person who is involved in this bid'ah, he claims that he's got some evidence. The debate would be whether this evidence is really correct evidence for this matter or not. Somebody could use the verse of the Noble Quran, وَفْعَلُوا الْخَيْرِ وَفْعَلُوا الْخَيْرِ and do good. Allah said in the Quran, do good. So this could give a blanket license to do anything. Add Ayatul Kursi and Suratul Fatiha to the Adhan. Have an Adhan for Eid and Janaza Salah and for your Taraweeh Salah. This could be proof that on the day of Friday, we find that people might miss the khutbah. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray the salah first, and then we'll have the khutbah after the salah. So we'll change things around there. وَفَعَلُوا الْخَيْرِ We are only doing good. We're doing good, subhanAllah. Somebody else says that I'm going to fast on the day of Eid, both the days of Eid, I'm going to fast. As for Arafat, you know what? We're going to divide it. Half the people stand on this day, half the people stand on the next day, because people have been killed during the stampedes, etc. So we're going to chop and change, and we're going to bake, and we're going to grill, and we're going to change the entire deen, subhanAllah. Allah musta'an. وَفَعَلُوا الْخَيْرِ is my proof. We're doing good. We're doing good, and we have a good intention and a beautiful intention. Does it change the reality? Does not change the reality. Allah musta'an. So Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we discussed the relationship between bid'ah and sin, relationship between bid'ah and masalih al-mursala, and certain special characteristics of bid'ah. We now move on bi'idhnillahi ta'ala to some of the lessons from this hadith, inshaAllah. Some of the lessons from this hadith. We learn the importance of ittiba and not ibtida. We learn the importance of following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our job is to follow. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and in our following we follow the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ati'u Allah wa ati'u ar-rasul. Obey Allah and obey the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From our shahadateen, our testification. So we single out the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in following. And we know that it's a condition for the acceptance of our acts of worship. That number one, we must have ikhlas. And number two, whatever we do must be done in accordance to the sunnah and the way and the tariqah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If it was up to me and you, then what was the point in sending down the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What's the point in Allah saying that we must follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Obedience. Obedience, subhanAllah, obedience, taslim, submitting to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's also a sign of your love. It's a sign that you love the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you follow his way. And he said that every one of my ummah will enter Jannah except those who aba, those who refuse. Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, who will refuse? He says, whoever obeys me will enter, and whoever disobeys me, then this person has refused. Allah musta'an, Allah musta'an. So if we say that we should follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and not compete with him or innovate, what does it mean that we should follow? We should follow in belief, we should follow in statement, we should follow in actions, and we should also follow in those matters that he left out. He did not slaughter chicken, we will not slaughter chicken for Udhiyah. He did not go to Arafat on the 10th, we will not go to Arafat on the 10th. He did not give the Adhan for Eid Salah, we will not give the Adhan for Eid Salah. So there's certain matters that he left out, right? Although there might have been a need for it, he purposefully left it out, then for us to do it would be an innovation. Remember, following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would also include, you know, in matters like sabab, the reason for something, right? Somebody comes along and he says, we know, for example, after Ramadan, so you have the day of Eid. The reason for this day of Eid is that now celebration after this month of Ramadan. Somebody comes along and he says, you know what, the first Friday of the new year. The first Friday of the new year, I think this is an auspicious day, and we're going to do ABC. So you've come up with your own reasoning, subhanAllah, as some brothers say, who died and made you boss? Who died and made you boss, Allahu musta'an? Who put you in charge? Who gave you the right to say that such and such is virtuous because of whatever? Just because you thought about it? Allah musta'an. Similarly, we follow in sabab, we follow in jins, we follow in the genus, we follow in the class. For example, there are certain animals that we can slaughter for udhiyah. He comes along and he says, no, we can also slaughter horses. We have a lot of horses around, so we will slaughter horses. You are changing matters. You are not following. We also follow in the number and in the quantity. Somebody comes along and he says, no. We're going to make Salatul Fajr one raka'ah. We're going to make Salatul Asr into two raka'ahs. We'll make Salatul Isha into six raka'ahs, etc. You are not following. You are now changing in number and you are changing in quantity. Somebody comes along and says, you know what? Shouldn't we follow in the manner 100% in the kaif, in the manner we should follow, in the manner taught to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This guy comes along and he changes matters. For example, in wudu, washes the feet first, then washes the arms, and then washes the face, etc. He says, you know what, I've done some research and I found that we should begin with the face and then we should go on to the feet, or we should start at the bottom and make our way up. He's changing the entire manner. We follow the manner taught to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We also follow in time. Today you cannot go to Arafat. It's not you cannot stand there at Arafat and you know think it's your Hajj or something. No, you don't have the right to legislate with regards to when and how. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated this. Allah has set aside that zaman, that one day in the year, one day in the year, that day in the year, the day of Arafat. You go to Arafat in December, in November, etc. And you say that, you know what, I'm making it now. Cannot happen, subhanallah. So in terms of zaman, time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of time. Allah is the creator of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes certain times better and over and above other times. With regards to makan, with regards to place, this guy says, I'm going to make i'tikaf in my house. I got a musalla in my room, and so in Ramadan I'm going to make i'tikaf here. Absolutely not. Somebody says that Arafat is too full, so I'm going to make wukuf in Mina or in Muzdalifah or in front of the Kaaba. Mashallah, what a fantastic place in front of the Kaaba. There's no crowds here. Everybody's in Arafat. I will make my wukuf in front of the Kaaba. Allah can see us wherever we are. Subhanallah. Where's the following? Where's the ati'ullah wa ati'ur rasul? Who subhanallah has given you the authority to decide with regards to places, with regards to time, with regards to how, with regards to quantity, etc. Remember, the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam can be categorized into three general groups. Number one, af'al jibiliyah, the natural actions, the natural human actions, right, of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's sitting, he's sleeping, he's eating food, he's wearing clothes, etc. Where we have texts, verses of the Quran, ahadith, etc., proving that certain act is recommended or is wajib, then we have to, and we follow in that matter. Example, he says that do not eat with your left hand, eat with your right hand. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he informed us that the males, we should grow our beards. So in these matters, which are natural matters, which are ordinary matters for every human being, these matters now have a religious cloak to them, and we follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that. Where there's no text, the type of clothes that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wore, the type of food that he liked, that he might have eaten, etc. Where there's no text, some scholars are of the opinion that here we do not follow, and other scholars say no, here we follow and it is recommended. There's a debate amongst the scholars with regards to this. Well, for example, they talk about wearing the hat, they talk about the turban. Some said that this was a cultural norm, and so even Abu Jahl, etc., used to wear the same type of clothing. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't tell us something specific that we should dress in this manner. So that's one opinion. Another opinion that some scholars have mentioned, that you know what, at the end of the day, if you dress in that manner out of your love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then whether it was sunnah or not, you will be rewarded for your intention. Beautiful, subhanallah. I do it because I love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm wearing the turban, I'm not saying it's sunnah, but I'm wearing the turban because I know he wore a turban and I love him, and that's why I'm wearing the turban. 100% you will be rewarded bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. So that's the first category, the af'al jibiliyah, the ordinary and the natural matters. The second one, khasa'is, special matters related to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Here we don't follow him. He was allowed to marry more than four wives. We are not allowed to marry more than four, subhanallah. And so we do not follow him in this matter. And the other special matters related to the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, in marriage, you know, he could get married to a female without any wali, etc. Right? Whereas we require the permission and we require the involvement of the wali and stuff like this. The khasa'is, special characteristics, special matters related to the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we obviously do not follow him in that. And then number three, religious matters, the matters of the deen, that's now part and parcel of the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why he was sent. He was sent to teach us about the matters of the deen, our link between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they 100% we do follow and we have to follow our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Brothers and sisters, before we end off tonight's program, just a few more of those examples of bid'ah. Somebody comes along and they say that there's no longer any qisas. Yeah, you kill somebody, you will not be put to death. You steal, there's no chopping off of the hands. There's no stoning for the adulteress, etc. Rather, you know, this is a bit too barbaric for this time and age. What we will do is that we will give you a fine. We will give you a monetary fine, or for example, we will jail you for a period of time, etc. You are changing the nizam of the deen. You are changing the character of the deen, and this here would be regarded as a bid'ah. Somebody, for example, every time after the adhan, he says, Yarhamukallah. Every time he hears the adhan, he says, Yarhamukallah. We know that we say Yarhamukallah when somebody sneezes and they say Alhamdulillah. He says, no, Yarhamukallah is a nice thing. May Allah have mercy upon you. So every time the adhan begins, he says to people around him, Yarhamukallah. After salah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. He turns to the guy on the right, Yarhamukallah. And the person on the left, Yarhamukallah. He says, this is a lovely thing. This is a beautiful thing. It's a nice thing to do. Subhanallah. Jayid, somebody, for example, he says, whenever I hear the name of any of the companions, any of the major sahaba, I immediately go down into sajda thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if any lecture, anywhere he is walking, wherever he hears the name Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, etc., he goes down straight into sajda and he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he makes dua for those pious companions. He says, this is a nice thing. It's a beautiful thing. I'm making dua for them. I'm making sajda. The closest we are to Allah is when we are in sajda. Jayid, would this be regarded as a bid'ah? 100%. Allahu musta'an. Somebody comes along and he adds, you know, musical instruments and these instruments, etc. And he plays these things and he feels that, you know, this is getting him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he adds some Quranic recitation and he adds all of these musical instruments and he comes up with something and his intention, I want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu musta'an. Somebody comes up with new ideas in belief, in aqidah, etc. Somebody comes along and says that instead of fasting from the time of Fajr, we will start fasting from 10 a.m. so that, you know, everybody can fast and it would be better and we can really encourage people to fast throughout the year. Subhanallah. Somebody comes along and he curses the Sahaba, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Aisha, etc. He curses the Sahaba. This is a bid'ah. It's a sin and it's also a bid'ah. This individual, Subaykh, asking those questions about the Mutashabihat in the Noble Quran. You know, what does this mean and what does that mean? We know that person came to Imam Malik and he says, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Ar-Rahman al-Arshi istawa, kayfa istawa. How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this istiwa? Imam Malik said, "Al-istiwa'u ma'lum, wal-kayfu majhul, wal-su'al anhu bid'ah." That the istiwa is known, and the how is unknown. How? Unknown, subhanallah. And asking about these matters is a bid'ah. Testing people, you know, checking them out. What do you say about this? What do you say about that? Some of the scholars of the past, they listed that testing people about Yazid ibn Muawiyah. You know, ask people, what do you say about Yazid ibn Muawiyah? Is he going to Jannah? Is he going to Jahannam? Do you curse Yazid? Don't you curse Yazid? You know, I want to know where you're coming from, you know, based upon these type of questions. Putting people to test like this, this here is a bid'ah. Allahu musta'an. You found scholars, great scholars, Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah, right? If you're going to to do this here, what are you going to say about Imam Ghazali rahimahullah? You know, he took the option, I'm not going to really say anything about these matters. Fanaticism, breaking up into groups and sects, and I am this and you are that, and I don't talk to you and we don't mix with one another. Coming up with these hilas, these loopholes in the Sharia. Someone, for example, staying away from marriage, staying away from working, you know, I'm not going to work, you know, this is, I'm going to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala morning, evening and night, and I'm going to give up working and stuff like this. Some individual coming along and saying that the sunnah is no longer a proof. You know, we can't really follow the sunnah, we only follow the Quran, Allah musta'an. You find, for example, some sheikh, and so the females who are his followers, so they come along and they shake his hands and they kiss his hands and stuff like this. Why? Because he's so pious, it's fine, Allah musta'an. You had, for example, during the time of Marwan, that they would make the khutbah before the before Salatul Eid. So you find the khutbah before Salatul Eid and then after that Salatul Eid. This is a bid'ah. Somebody, for example, we know we make tawaf around the Kaaba. Somebody, for example, making tawaf around other items, making tawaf around the grave or making tawaf around the sheikh or something like that. Allah musta'an. This female, she says, I'm not going to talk any longer. You know, I'm just going to be silent. This is my worship. This is my cleansing, my heart, etc. I'm going to be silent the entire week. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, and he came across a female who was doing this, and he says that this is from the acts of jahiliyyah. Someone, for example, going into ghulu, extremes, standing and praying the entire night and not sleeping at all. Someone, for example, picking up massive rocks and they want to hit the jamarat. Small pebbles will suffice. No, no, no. This person's picking up these major, massive rocks. Allahu musta'an. Somebody, we know that at Arafat, you know, you're standing out in the open under the sun without anything on your head, the males. Then this is like an act of worship. Now you will be rewarded for this. Somebody says, well, you know what, I'm going to go out and stand in the sun there, and I'm going to burn in the sun, and you know, I'll get rewarded for this. In fact, somebody had done this during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to go and sit in the shade and stop doing that. Allahu musta'an. So these are but a few examples with regards to the matters of bid'ah. There are many qawa'id, there are many principles with regards to the matters of bid'ah, and a fantastic and we had listed many of the works of the scholars of the ulama with regards to the matters of bid'ah, and many of them have listed the principles related to bid'ah, how to identify them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us khair and barakah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala record our sitting in our scales of good deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us an increase in our knowledge, beneficial knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst the people of the sunnah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revive in us and with us many of those sunan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us away from the matters of innovation, whether they be innovation in action, innovation in statement, innovation in idea. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us part and parcel and from Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Until we meet again, your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail. Hayyakumullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.